scripture lesson today, our gospel reading today, is Luke chapter 13. You're welcome to follow along overhead or simply listen. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you are not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the word of the Lord. I hope you can see this picture well, because it gives us a clear illustration of this moment when Jesus is looking over the city of Jerusalem. And he's come into the world very slowly. In his own way, he discovers who he is. He has a mission and a purpose. And people have not responded to him in the way that he longed, the way he prayed, the way he wanted. Nothing and no one has shaken my belief in God, but there have been times when I did not feel him and there was a loss of relationship. Months ago, someone wrote this response to me and to Christine to questions we ask about the issues with which you as a congregation live. And I begin this morning by saying that we're not always able to feel the presence of God. We cannot rely on feelings to sustain our faith in God. And for that reason, the church keeps faith alive by worship. For in worship, we can say thank you for what we've experienced as God's care. And you've done that this morning in different ways. You've expressed thanksgiving and gratitude. Sometimes a message from Scripture can help us hear what God's voice is saying to us in ways that offer us guidance. And sometimes the Lord's Supper is a powerful moment for good. I believe it is a way we remember Jesus' love and a way we experience the very presence of God when we receive the cup and the bread. But apart from worship and apart from message and apart from communion, another way we see God is in witnessing God at work in what others are doing and in what we are doing ourselves. So, where is God? And what is God doing? Well, Jesus began his ministry in Nazareth saying what God is doing. And he quoted from Isaiah 61. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. And he sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And if you ever wonder where God is and what God is doing, then find people who are preaching to the poor and helping people in trouble and doing ministry to people on the margins. That's where God is. And what gets my attention in our reading this morning is that Jesus did this. And he preached and healed and cured and taught. And here he is looking over the city of Jerusalem. And he's lamenting, because people aren't responding to him. He's the Savior of the world. He's God's own Son sent to turn the minds and hearts of Israel back to God, and people didn't take him seriously. And in this picture, we get some feeling of his burden for a people that he loved. Jesus was a city where prophets had been killed. It had a history of rejecting those who brought the word of God. And Jesus knew this. He knows it as he's looking over the city here. And he went there many times. And in all his visits to Jerusalem, in all the occasions where he taught in the temple, in all the encounters he had with his people, he longed to be heard and received. Now, you may have wondered what it is when you have not felt God and there's a loss of relationship in your words. Have you ever considered that God came looking for you and your head was somewhere else? Have you ever considered that Jesus looking over the city of Jerusalem reveals how he feels about you and me? How often have I desired to gather your children as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you are not willing? That's the quote on this picture. Jesus shows us his humanity here. Have you ever considered that the church, all of this church, walls, banners, pulpit, me, the praise band, all of this is an effort to get your attention? If you haven't, maybe you should. Ever considered that the assembly of these stories about Jesus' life, the assembly of the Torah and the historical books and the wisdom literature and the Psalms and the Proverbs and the prophets and all the letters, that this is an effort to communicate God reaching out to people who are preoccupied with entertainment? You and I live in a culture and we're kind of preoccupied with being entertained. And it has been the Spirit of Jesus Christ preaching through all kinds of people in the life of this church and in other places to reach you and me. Have you ever considered that God has been trying to reach you and you are not paying attention? If you've never considered it, then with this picture, you ought to think about it. Let me show you what I mean. The Gospel of Luke is a collection of stories aimed at helping Theophilus and the rest of the world understand Jesus' story. If you follow Luke's story, he begins by telling of a peasant girl who is visited by an angel. And the angel tells her that God will come to her and she will bear a child who will be the Son of God. Now, that must have been pretty impossible news for a 14-year-old to bear. And people talked about her, and her family probably laughed at her, and they were giving her more bullying than I got from Verdery Kerr. And so she left town, and she went down to see her cousin Elizabeth many, many miles away near Jerusalem. And this is the moment when this peasant girl, Mary, is greeted by her sister Elizabeth. And Mary tells Elizabeth a story about the mighty God who brings down the powerful from their thrones, who lifts up the lowly and fills the hungry with good things. And this is Luke's good news about Jesus. Now, you know the story of Jesus' birth. The first to hear are shepherds. And shepherds in the biblical world were not nice, gentle, and respectable figures. One scholar says, far from being regarded as either gentle or noble, in Jesus' day, shepherds were often considered dishonest and outside the law. Herdsmen were added by the early rabbis to the list of those ineligible to be judges or rabbis or witnesses, since they frequently grazed their flocks on other people's lands. They were like homeless types who were dishonest with a bad reputation. And yet every Christmas, you and I look kindly on these humble folk visited by a choir of angels. In reality, they were shadowy, dishonest types. And they were the first people who heard the news about Jesus' birth. When Jesus is questioned by a lawyer about inheriting eternal life, Jesus asked him, what's written in the law? And the man speaks about loving God and neighbor as yourself. And Jesus congratulates him on a good answer. But then the man wants to justify himself, and he asks Jesus, who's my neighbor? And to answer, Jesus tells the story of a man robbed on the way to Jericho, and he's overlooked by a priest who's wearing robes like this, and he's overlooked by a Levite who came from a very famous family who was supposed to do wonderful religious things. And he uses a Samaritan in the story with people who believe that the only good Samaritan was a dead Samaritan. You know, people in your world who thought the only good person in that category is dead. Samaritans had for years taken the essence of Judaism and mixed it with the worship of Baal. And Jews regarded them as apostate. They were infidels, spiritual infidels, half-breeds. And yet Jesus uses this good Samaritan as the hero of the story. It's the Samaritan who teaches the Jewish lawyer about the meaning of loving neighbor. And that was Jesus' idea. When Jesus dies on the cross, according to Luke, there's a criminal beside him who cries out and says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Now look at this man. Are you getting the message here? That Jesus' good news, according to Luke, is for lowly peasant girls, dishonest shepherds, infidel Samaritans, and criminals who are being executed, and anyone else who will listen, according to Luke. Why should we care about all of these people? Because they are the very people to whom Jesus went. So, have you ever heard that you did not matter to God? Have you ever thought that you did not matter? Ever felt that you were outside the church somehow, on the margin of this society of upright people? People who come here and worship God. If you ever felt on the outside of belief or of church or polite society, then know that this good news is for you. This Jesus is for you. This Savior is for you. Jesus came preaching a gospel of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, and he exercised demons out for some, he healed others, and he went about doing his ministry caring less about powerful people like King Herod Antipas. Now, Herod is the one who had John the Baptist's head cut off. And Herod had heard that Jesus was John risen from the dead. And that's the reason Pharisees have come to warn Jesus. Now, nobody knows for sure whether they were really trying to warn Jesus or whether they were trying to run him out of Herod's territory. But Jesus shows us in this passage and in this picture, he's not afraid of Herod. Go tell that fox for me, "Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today, tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work." And Jesus will. He finishes the work at the resurrection on the third day. So what? It's always good to ask in a sermon, so what? Why are you saying all this? Well, today we ask the question, where is God? And we ask, what is God doing? And the scriptures tell us that the Lord of all, the head of the church, the Jesus we worship, came to those who did not have it altogether. Some believed and some didn't, and all who were people who had failed morally. Some knew it and some didn't. And Jesus cared about them all. He invited them to follow him. Some had excuses and some chose to follow. Well, this morning, Jesus is here again inviting you and me to take him seriously. And if you receive him as Lord and Savior, know that you may not always feel him as Lord and Savior. You may not always feel close to him. But it's no reason to give up the faith. Instead, take a look again at this picture of Jesus. He cares about people. He cares about Jerusalem. He cares about Israel. He is the one who said, "God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that whoever believes in him will not perish." He cares about shepherds and Samaritans and sinners and people like you and me. Years ago, there was a young woman who couldn't feel the presence of God, and so the minister invited her to go on a mission trip with other teenage young people to Jamaica. So they went. Mandeville, Jamaica. And on the way to the site where they stayed, a man approached this young woman and said, "Do you have anything to give me?" And she said, "I have the Bible that my family gave me. Here, take this." For the next several days, she was involved in helping create a cistern that would collect water for people in Jamaica who had a hard time finding water because it's so dry there and hot. And the group spent time going to a public school, of all things, to share a vacation Bible school program with them. At the end of the time, the minister asked the young woman, "Did you find God anywhere?" And she said, "I did, in giving the Bible to the man who asked for something. God was there. In helping others build a system that would give people water, God was there. In sharing fellowship with my fellow classmates and friends and church people, in sharing Vacation Bible School, God was there. And I'm grateful for knowing that God was there in all that we were doing together." When you cannot feel the presence of God, when you cannot hold on to your faith in God, go back to Psalm 23. Listen again to these words of David. "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow, though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." When God is absent from you and me, let us make sure that we are not absent from God. And so show up in a worship service. Show up in a Bible study. Show up with a group of people who are going to the center of Charlotte to give essentials to people who don't have those essentials. And I believe you and I will find God has never left you and me, not even once.